The spirit of Amalek is very much alive and well today, and the rise of America's far right is a testament to this fact. A war of ideas has been raging in the Republican Party, which is the party of the conservatives in America. The traditional pro-Israel consensus is being challenged by a much more sinister, far-right, orthodox Christian movement that certainly leans into the Amalekite spirit of anti-Semitism. And it must also be noted that while this Bible in the news is about different political ideologies and their implications for the Jewish people, believers in Christ do not have any political affiliation, whether left-wing or right-wing. We also have no political affiliation to the modern secular state of Israel. In fact, you could say that we're far more ambitious than that. The political allegiance of the believer is not to the state of Israel, but to the future Israelitish kingdom and empire of nations that will be established when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And it's this allegiance that separates us from the politics of this world. Amalek was a nation described in the Bible as being a staunch enemy of the Israelites, cropping up again and again to bring harm to God's people. They're famous for attacking the weak and the weary ones in Israel as they were journeying through the wilderness. And for example, later on, Haman was descended from the Amalekites. He was envious of the influence and power that Mordecai the Jew had with the king of Persia in the book of Esther, and as a result, he authors a decree that would have ordered all the Jews in the Persian Empire to be slaughtered. Exodus 17 tells us that God has sworn that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And later on, in the book of Revelation, we read that in the latter days, all the nations will be gathered together against God's people. And this spirit of anti-Semitism and hostility towards God's people comes from the frog-like spirits. So, for example, in Revelation 16, verse 13, we read, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." It's because of this that the nations are gathered together to Armageddon in verse 16, later on in the chapter. The case has often been made on Bible in the News that the frog-like spirits came from the French Revolution, the spirit of humanism that tried to break away from the centuries of dogma of the Roman Catholic Church. The French Revolution was based on a false promise of liberty and equality and a brotherhood of man. The ideology of the French Revolution resulted in the spirit of Amalek being perpetuated in the nations of Europe and further afield as well. Ultimately, the French Revolution gave birth to class warfare as an ideology. The peasants would rise up against the feudal system of the nobility and the clergy in the French Revolution. But this was a false promise of liberty. It didn't work. So a few years later, the workers rose up against the factory owners, the next paradigm, if you like, based on the ideas of Karl Marx and communism. But throughout the 20th century, it was clear that this didn't bring freedom either. This was also a false promise. And so in the 20th century, the 21st century, there's been a new type of class warfare. This time, cultural Marxism, the forced redistribution of social advantages, for example, feminism versus the patriarchy, LGBTQ versus heterosexual norms, the indigenous against the colonizers. And this neo-Marxist worldview results in people being broken up into groups who rise up against their oppressors. And the Israel-Palestine conflict is commonly viewed through this lens. The evil colonizers, Israel, commit genocide against the oppressed indigenous Palestinians. And in modern times, we can easily see how this spirit, which came from the French Revolution, has led to anti-Semitism. This is clear across the world today. But interestingly, the French Revolution also gave birth to another ideology as well. Self-determination, the sovereignty of the individual, the idea of human rights. And this has resulted in many of the freedoms that we have today to read the Bible in relative peace, for example. But this spirit of self-determination also resulted in nationalism, which swept across Europe in the years following the French Revolution. And where extreme nationalism was combined with things like Darwin and eugenics, This led to the rise of the Nazi Party in Germany. Whether your cup of tea is class warfare on the one side or extreme nationalism on the other, all of it eventually leads to anti-Semitism, to the hatred of the Jewish people. Nationalism is a belief that the state and the culture or ethnicity, the nation, should be one and the same thing. And when it's taken to an extreme, this can lead to racial prejudice. And in history, this led to the Jews being identified as the enemy from within. They're accused of being disloyal, of having interests elsewhere. They're sometimes described as having a network of spies across different nations who were manipulating a web of corruption. World Jewry was charged with controlling the media and controlling finances. And this is the ideology that led to the famous book called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. This was a forgery published in 1903, and it purported to detail a Jewish plot for global domination. And it's actually still read as fact in various parts of the Islamic world today. The extreme nationalist right of American politics emphasizes the white Christian roots of America's founding, different from the Protestant evangelical Christians who've been a huge supporter of Israel over the years. Many of the further right-wing voices are in fact Roman Catholic. And this should immediately make us think of all the prophecies in the Bible that speak about the persecution of Rome's false version of Christianity that would bring persecution to the believers and to the Jewish people in Christ, as prophesied in the book of Revelation. A perfect example of this extreme nationalist Catholic thinking can be seen through a podcaster or a streamer called Nick Fuentes. Nearly 10 years ago, he became effectively outlawed from the Republican Party because of his extreme ideology. He talks about world Jewry controlling the media and finances. He's promoted the conspiracy that Jews have caused almost every single one of the wars that the US have got involved with. He's accused many Jews of dual loyalty. In short, he is a living, breathing example of 20th century nationalism that has resulted in the hatred of Jews so many times in history. But the really interesting part is that while 10 years ago, the Republican Party wanted nothing to do with Nick Fuentes and his ideas, all that has changed in more recent times. Nowadays, when Republican politics is ascendant in America, he's been invited onto podcasts. His ideas are being given credibility. Only a few weeks ago, Tucker Carlson, the right-wing political commentator, interviewed him, giving him only cozy questions about his story and his ideas, rather than challenging him on his openly anti-Semitic stances. Here are a few examples of what Nick Fuentes has said about the Jews. He says, "My opposition to world Jewry is rooted in absolute, incontestable fact. We are telling the truth about the historical antagonism between the Jews and the Europeans, between Jews and Christians. The historical, cultural, racial, and political antagonisms between organized Jewry and the Christians." Or again, he says, "Remember who's responsible for it all, the Jews. They are responsible for every war in the world, and that's not even debatable at this point. This has nothing to do with oil. This has nothing to do with democracy. This has nothing to do with liberal internationalism. We're at war with Iran because they pose a threat to Israel's hegemony. That's why we are bombing their nukes," end quote. You can see the way that he chooses to scapegoat the Jews and put this antagonism between the Jewish people and the Christians, the Europeans, in fact, he calls them, as well, using more of a racial connotation between the two. He also said, quote, "There is an occult element at the highest levels of society, and specifically among the Jews," end quote. It's honestly hard to believe that people are still saying things like this in the 21st century. It's the same playbook as the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, the same as so many quotes from the 20th century nationalist anti-Semitism from the right wing. It's still the same in the 21st century. This is the ancient hatred, which has lasted for so many centuries, in fact, millennia at this point. And it's even more shocking that mainstream political commentators and podcasters are beginning to mainstream this ideology more and more. For example, the same thinking, although slightly less extreme, can be seen from another leading right-wing voice, such as Candace Owens. She started out as a regular right-wing pro-Israel voice in America, particularly speaking to parts of the black community who were disenfranchised with the left wing in America. But since, surprise, surprise, marrying a Catholic and converting to Catholicism, things have started to change to the point where last year she was awarded a presentation. She was presented with an award for Anti-Semite of the Year, and with good reason, too. The rise of far-right American anti-Semitism today is just another example of how the French Revolution results in a hatred of the Jewish people. This is the ancient spirit of Amalek that is alive and well today. So the question is, what role will America play in the latter days? Famously, we read in Ezekiel 38 that of the group of nations who opposes the Confederacy who choose to invade the land of Israel under Rosh, Meshech and Tubal, headed up by Gog. This group of nations includes Tarshish and her young lions. Since American colonies, though independent today, originated from Britain or Tarshish, the mother lion, it seems very plausible that America will play the part of one of the young lions spoken about in Ezekiel 38. And therefore we shouldn't expect the anti-Semitism of Nick Fuentes to become mainstream in American politics. But nonetheless, it's true that this America first isolationist approach to foreign policy could fit very well with the non-interventionist approach of Tarshish and the Young Lions, who challenge but do nothing when the northern invader comes into the land. Having said this, anti-Semitism in the Republican Party is an amazing witness to the effect of the frog-like spirits in our world. And it also shows just how seamlessly Catholic religious thought slips into anti-Semitic ideology. This is what we would expect, considering the whole of the Book of Revelation is about the animosity between the Roman political system, shown today in the Roman Catholic Church, and the true people of God, whether natural Jews or Jews by adoption. In our times, the words from Balaam's prophecy in Numbers 23, verse 9 and 10 are so applicable, which says, quote, "From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and number the fourth part of Israel?" End quote. Israel are a people that will ultimately dwell alone. They cannot look to America, the bruised reed, if you like, for help and for strength. Their protector is the rock of the ages, the shepherd of Israel who does not slumber or sleep. We pray for the day when he will send his son to bring vengeance to the enemies of Israel, to turn ungodliness to Jacob, to bring that day when the law will go forth from Zion. This has been Daniel Blackburn joining you for this week's edition of Bible in the News.